We get together and talk about our sermons and our lessons before we do them. you should see next week's. I'm not going to tell you about it, but I promise you that you've probably never seen a message. Probably never seen one like that before. But this is about friends, and so the reason that I'm like this is when you talk to friends, you don't preach to them. You get comfortable and you talk. And so today I just want to talk to you. It's a heavy lesson. And please don't think, because I know some of you very personally, that it's aimed at anyone or anything. It's not. It's just the Bible. And it, by doing it right, it makes life good. And you can say it's good to be alive because of your friends. If you do it wrong, your life will be ruined. And you'll never be able to say it's good to be alive. If you're a visitor here, and this is one of your first times, this is not normally what I do. But it's what I'm doing today. So, if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, then I'd like for you to turn with me. Look with me, if you will, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12, verse 26, and then be going to 1 Samuel, chapter 17. But where I really want you to be is in Genesis, chapter 19, and I'll be there in a little while. And while you're turning, let's pray. Father, how wonderful it is to have friends. I can't imagine doing life without them. I ask you to bless us. Father, I pray for myself that I'll be able to communicate with my friends what you've put in my heart and shown me these past few weeks as I've studied and prepared. Pray for myself that what I'll say will be interesting. It may be convicting, but not condemning. I ask you to help us all to hear it, because I know you want us to live the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. So Lord, be with us now and lead us and guide us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're in our series, and the series is, of course, called It's Good to Be Alive. God has given us things to make life good. Forrest Gump says life's like a box of chocolate. You just never know what you're really going to get, never know what you're going to bite into in life. But if you're like Forrest, whether it's a physical or mental handicap or a hurricane, you come out on top. And that's the way God wants it with us. So he's given us favor of God. The favor of God is like a royal straight flush. You can't lose. He's given us family. If you've got the family built up right, you've built it as we talked last week, you're not going to lose. If you've got friends in your life, it's which we're going to be talking about this week, you're not going to lose. These are the things that God's given us so that we can truly say it's good to be alive. I can't imagine doing life without friends. I've had friends all of my life. I'm a friendly person. I've always had friends in my life, even though my best friends have consistently changed. And that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about. See, God has wired us that way. God has wired us to have friends. God has wired us so that we can have good lives. And if we do friends correctly, we cannot fail. We cannot live a bad life if we do friends right. It's a large teaching, friends is. Friendships, friends, things that relate to friends. There's 163 passages, not just scriptures, but 163 passages that talk about and relate to friends. Why is that? Why did God spend so much scripture and spend so much time talking about friends? Have you ever thought about that? Well, the reason is simple. It's because your life is successful or your life is a failure because of the friends that you've selected through the years. Friends will take you up or friends will bring you down. The primary emphasis, and here's a slide for you, but the primary emphasis of the Bible's teachings about friends is to select friends wisely. If you don't get anything else out of what I talk about today, get that. The wisdom you use to select your friends will make the difference of a good and a successful and abundant life or a life of ruin and a life that's been led astray. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26 says this, a righteous man is cautious. Would you say that back to me, cautious? You can talk to me, that's fine, we're friends, right? He's cautious. A righteous person is cautious in friendship. Now, the word righteous there means this is the right way of doing it. A righteous person who does life right is cautious in friendship. What are they cautious in? In friendship. But the way of the wicked leads them astray. The wrong way to do it, the wrong way is not to be cautious about your friends. Having friends that you have not cautiously selected will lead you astray. It's a guarantee. This isn't a suggestion. This is the Word of God. If you're not cautious in your friend selection, you will go astray. Now, we must be friendly, or we should be friendly, with every person. But we cannot be friends with every person. You've got to be cautious who you let into your life, into a deep and an in-depth way where they really have input and give you direction. You can't just let anyone come in there. The American Standard Version, and I was really impressed about how the different translations did this particular passage. But in Proverbs 18:24, it says, he that maketh many friends, now, many friends, they're not cautious with their friends, just anybody can be their friends, anybody's into their stuff and into their life. He that maketh many friends doeth it to his own destruction. Would you say that back to me? Own destruction. Own destruction. In other words, you self-destruct. You do it to your own destruction, but there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Many times people will say, you know, well, it was my friend's fault that I got into this problem. No, no, no. It's your fault because you were not careful about the friends that you selected. We can't blame other people for our mess-ups. Had we been more cautious about the friends that we selected, we never would have gone down that road. We never would have been associated with that dimension. So, friends become extremely important. We call it peer pressure, but it's really friend pressure. It's been said that friends are like elevators. They'll take you up, or they'll bring you down. And by the people that you ride with, your life is going up, or your life is going down. And this is what the Bible wants us to see. So as I began to see these points and look at these things, I began to evaluate myself and to look and see what kind of friend I have been. People that are really close to me and people that I am really close with, have I been good? Have I raised their life to new levels? Or have I been bad, caused them trouble, got them in bad situations, and brought them down? Maybe a question that you might ask. How am I as a friend? Not only how are my friends towards me, but how am I when it comes to being a friend? Now, one of the most important things that I saw as I studied this, and a new thought that I had never quite seen this way before about friends and friendship, was a thought on best friends. And I want to take a few minutes here and just share this with you. Is this okay? You like this? Is this all right? Is this comfortable with you? I'm very comfortable. I like this. rabbit trail, just before I do my best friends thing, but I went through all the year in review videos, you know, and I walked around that podium, I don't know, 5 million, 6 million times, I suppose, just back and forth. And I said, I got to do something about that. And so we kind of moving and doing some different stuff. So this is sort of where all that came from. Back to best friends. I saw a thing about best friends that was very interesting to me as I was looking at that this week. Best friends, and we all have them and have had them, but they are so influential in our lives. But I saw something different and new. The Bible tells us a best friend story, and it's between a guy named David, who we all are familiar with. Remember, David is the guy who, as a young boy, took a sling and a stone and slew the giant. Remember, Goliath? Well, it was at this monumental time in David's life that he also had another monumental thing to happen. They coincided, and that's what they intersected. And this is the thing that I want you to see today. This is the first point that I really want us to get about friends, is that at monumental times in our life, God brings a new friend. And this is what happened to David. And so I want us to see this and look at this from this perspective. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 57 says this, After David had killed Goliath, Abner brought him to Saul. Now look at this. With the Philistine's head still in his hand. Now, you get an image here? That's a pretty monumental moment in David's life. This was a moment where David's life forever changed courses. He's changed from being the little shepherd boy to being groomed to be the king of all of Israel. He had Goliath's head in his hand. Next verse. Tell me about your father, my boy, Saul said. And David replied, his name is Jesse, and we live in Bethlehem. After David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. Now remember, he's still got the giant's head in his hand. The king's son. And there was an immediate bond of love between them, and they became the best of friends. God brings best friends into our lives at monumental moments. I thought it interesting. If you leave that up there just a second, please. I want you to note something before I leave that thought. That it was interesting to me that Saul's first question to David, who was going to be his son's best friend, was about David's parents. I think we as parents need to know something about the parents that our children become friends to and with, and especially if those are going to be best friends. But the most important thing I saw, here's what I found that was so interesting. Take a look. The thing that was so interesting to me about the relationship and friendship between David and Jonathan was the timing of the event. You had these two major events coming together in an intersection in David's life. There he stood with the head of Goliath in his hand, and he's meeting Jonathan at the same time. And both of these events took place and so changed the life of David into such a dimension that he was never the same. It took him from being a little shepherd boy into being the king of all of Israel. And I was thinking about that in my life. In every area of my life that I've ever changed and had a major change, there came a new person into my life. There came new friends into my life. In grammar school, when I left grammar school, I had new friends in high school. When I left high school, I had new friends in college. When I left college and I came into the workforce, I had new friends in the workforce. When I left the workforce and came into the kingdom of God, I had new friends in the kingdom of God. When I moved to Lafayette, I had new friends in Lafayette as I pastored this church. And so I want to ask you a question. When you come to the intersections of life, you're walking down a gravel road with dirt and rocks and it's rocky. God brings us to an intersection and it's paved. And one side goes up and one side goes down. What happens in your life when you come to an intersection? What you're going to find and what you always see is there's another person. There's a friend. And if we allow that friend to have its proper work in our life, the pressure, and we call it peer pressure, but it's really friend pressure, will pressure you to go in the direction that God wants you to go. And that's what I'm beginning to see. You see, as I looked at it with David, I'm sure he had friends before he met Jonathan, but his friends changed because a major aspect of his life changed. Even looking at, say, Joseph had friends, but when he was walking down the rocky gravel trails of his life, he found himself in prison. But there in prison, there was a friend. God intersected Joseph's life with the butler from Pharaoh's court. And it was because of that butler from Pharaoh's court that Joseph became the man of power and authority that he became. Every time I look at someone's life, I see that in some major intersection in their life, a friend came along, a friend that stuck closer than a brother. Looking at the life of Joshua, Joshua intersected with Moses and became the leader of Israel and was the leader, the warrior leader that took all of Canaan. I look at Ruth, her intersection into her life with Naomi. It was that intersection in life that gave her the abundant life that she could not even ask or think that she would experience ever in her life. I look at the apostles and they met Jesus Christ and forevermore their lives were totally changed. They left whatever road they were walking on and became apostles and disciples of Jesus. I look at the apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, though he was saved, was living in Tarsus. But because of a friend named Barnabas, his life forever changed, and he became the great apostle of the New Testament, writing the majority of the New Testament that we read and direct our lives by. But that wasn't his only friend. Every time God wanted to take him into a new direction, a new friend came along. For example, there was Barnabas, who was at that time his friend, but then along came Silas, and they went into a new way. Along came Timothy, along came Luke. And so what I'm trying to say to you is that every time our life comes into an intersection, and God wants to take us in a new direction, we change our best friends. The enemy understands this principle. And so what he does is he sends people along our lives to push us down the road to ruin and to push us astray. The Bible says, a man of many companions may come to ruin. In other words, a man not cautious in selecting his friends may come to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Then Proverbs 12:26 says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. No good thing can come from selecting bad friends. What the verse tells us is that it is impossible to have a ruined life if we properly select our friends. But on the other hand, if we don't do proper selection of friends, our life will come to ruin and we will be led astray. The Bible tells us about a man named Lot who came to an intersection in his life where he had to make a decision about friends, and he made the wrong decision. He made friends with men who lived in Sodom. The Lord sent angels to check out Sodom, but also deliver Lot if Lot needed delivery. Well, while Lot had the angels who appeared to be men in his own house, the men of Sodom came. And here is what the Bible says. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can have sex with them. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, no, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. Lot's life was ruined. God destroyed Sodom. God destroyed everything that Lot ever had. Lot lost his wife. She became a pillar of salt. Later on, Lot's daughters had incest with him. Lot's life was ruined. He went astray. And it was all because of friends. No good thing can come from having negative people that have negative influences upon our lives. But yet, it is impossible to fail when we realize that at every intersection, every major intersection in our lives, God's going to have people there, friends there, maybe new friends, that take us onward and upward and give us the proper pressure to find the ways that God has for you and me. God has a perfect plan for our life. Friends are there to make life good. It's good to be alive and have friends. Is that okay? It's impossible to fail in life. It's impossible to have a bad life if you've been cautious selecting your friends. The main thing, though, that I really want us to get out of that clip and out of that part and this point is that best friends will change when it's time for your life to change. And some of us need to change our best friends. For some of us, it's time for our life to change. Before I leave this thought, and actually I'm not going to leave it, but I wanted to do a little more looking at Lot's life. I want us to see something from the verses that I read in that clip. Let's look at them again. And it's in Genesis chapter 19:5. And I hope you have your Bibles with you and open to that point, because I'm going to spend a lot of time here in Genesis 19 for the next few minutes. They, the Sodomites, called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. Lot went outside to meet them and shut the door behind him and said, no, my friends. Now, the King James Version translates that instead of friends as brethren, which shows us the closeness. These men had become as family. They had become very close with Lot. No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing. Don't do this wicked thing. Look, I have two daughters who have never slept with a man, two virgin daughters. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like with them. What's wrong with that picture? Everything. Yeah. What was interesting is that Lot thought it wicked that the men of Sodom have the men or the angels, but he didn't think it wicked that all of those men take his two daughters and do whatever they wanted with them. My goodness. What I want us to see is that when we get around our friends, we think like they think. If you get around me and you become my friend, I promise you I will impact your thinking. My friends impact my thinking. Even as cautious as I am, I still get some bad stuff sometimes. Friends impact the thinking of friends. That's the way it works. Abraham had been Lot's friend for all those years. Abraham had spent a lot of time with Lot, and Lot had spent a lot of time with Abraham. But now he wasn't. He had changed friends. At an intersection in his life, he took the wrong way. He went down, and he made friends with the wrong people. And his thinking changed so drastically that it brought him to ruin. Lot lost everything. I can tell a lot about a person by the friends they run with. I know a lot about an individual's conversation and thought process when I know something about the people they hang with. Now, parents, perhaps you've noticed this with your children. Perhaps you've noticed that maybe they were good, they were polite, they were obedient, and then all of a sudden, they're in your face. All of a sudden, they're rebellious. It's time to look at friends. If you're around righteous people, you're going to think righteously. You've raised them to think righteously. But then all of a sudden, the way they process information changes. All of a sudden, things like homosexuality is not a big deal. All of a sudden, things that you've always taught them that were not wrong, that were wrong, all of a sudden, the things that you had taught them that were incorrect and wrong, all of a sudden, aren't so wrong anymore. You know, our society and so many adults, I mean, even this last election shows kind of a direction that we're being pressured to go. We voted on the rights for gay marriage. It's becoming acceptable in our society. I didn't see it, except I saw the clips of it, but I saw Madonna not peck Britney Spears, but give her some tongue. Is that okay? And you see, our society is going in a direction. Why is that? Why is this happening? Why is it happening with adults? Why is it happening with our children? Let me tell you how this works. If it's okay with you, then it's okay with your friends. Let me reverse that. If it's okay with your friends, then it's going to be okay with you. And whatever is okay with your friends, you're going to accept into your life because you're going to start thinking like your friends. That's just the way it works. Again, it's all about pressure. It's not peer pressure, it's friend pressure. Friends pressure us up, or friends pressure us down. The interesting thing about Lot is not only was Lot's thinking deranged, but also the thinking of his family was deranged. His daughters now thought, after everything had been destroyed and Lot's life had come to ruin, his daughters now thought it was acceptable for them to get their father drunk and have sex with him and become pregnant. Let me show you. Genesis chapter 19, verse 31 says, "One day, the older daughter said to her sister, 'There isn't a man anywhere in this entire area for us to marry. Our father will soon be too old to have children.'" They were either gone, the men were, or they were homosexual. "Come, let's get him drunk with wine, and then we will sleep with him. That way we will preserve our family line through our father." So that night, they got him drunk, and the older daughter went in and slept with her father. He was unaware of her lying down or getting up. That's pretty drunk. "The next morning, the older daughter said to her younger sister, 'I slept with our father last night. Let's get him drunk with wine again tonight, and you go in and sleep with him. That way our family line will be preserved.' So that night, they got him drunk again, and the younger daughter went in and slept with him. As before, he was unaware of her lying down or getting up again. So both of Lot's daughters became pregnant by their father." Hope you get the point. The point is, we begin thinking like our friends. And it not only affects us, it will affect our entire family. It will affect generations to come. The friends that you're making today will affect you years down the road and will affect your family years down the road. We think like our friends. I read you earlier the scripture from 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. And I read that from the New Living Translation. Let me read that to you now from the King James Version. And I want to make a point here. 1 Samuel 18, 1 says, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul..." What part of us is the soul? You have a body, you have a spirit, and you have a soul. The soul is the way you think. The soul is your attitudes. When our attitudes go wrong, we need to look at our friends. When our thought processes are deranged, we need to look at friends, because we have soul ties with friends, and that's what's happening here. "That the soul of Jonathan was knit." Get a picture. Knit. Not casually against, but knit together. It was sewn together. It was combined together. It was knit together with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. His own soul. This is what we call a soul tie. It's a mind tie. It's an attitude tie. What we mean when we say soul tie is people become like-minded. They begin doing life in the same way. They walk down the same road of life. They go in the same direction. They have the same purposes. They have the same desires. It's a soul tie. And if that life is going up, as was David and Jonathan's, that's a good thing. It'll take you to be the king. But if it's going the wrong way, it'll take you like Lot's life, and it'll end bad and end in ruin. I'm going to tell you a story about my daughter and my wife and myself. Bonnie was wanting to date a young boy in our church, in this church at that time. And the problem was, is the boy was trouble. He was bad news. But a huger, or a more complicated problem, part of the problem, was is that his dad was a leader in our church. Judy and I told Bonnie, you cannot date this boy. And Judy said to her, Bonnie, you can either tell him that you don't want to date him and probably avoid some problems in church, or you can tell him that we're not going to let you date him and maybe have a lot of problems in church. But either way, you're not dating this boy. You're not even going to go off with this boy. That was 15 years ago or something like that. From that day until now, the last story I had about that young man is his life is ruined. It's been one disaster after another disaster after another disaster. Bonnie thanks us for what we did for her then. We couldn't allow a soul tie. You have to take friendship seriously. It is that important. If you don't, it leads the way of destruction. It leads us astray. Now, I'm emphasizing young people. It seems that I am, but I'm really not, folks. I'm talking to every one of us. I don't care if you're 2 years old or if you're 90. I think that gets everybody in here. But it's important to whom you spend time, with whom you spend time. It's important with whom you befriend. It will take you up or it will lead you to destruction. It's that important. I want to close with this thought. I talked last week about this, and I thought it would be good to talk about it again this week. Jesus was on the cross. He was dying. That's sort of what we tried to portray to you in the skit. It was imminent, and there was no way around it. He looks down, and he sees two people. He sees his mother, and he sees John, a disciple. Let me read you the passage in John 19:26. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, that's an interesting thought. Why did John have the liberty to write that beside the disciple that he loved? He said to her, "Woman, he is your son." Jesus looks down from the cross, looks at Mary, says, "Woman, John is your son." And he said to his disciple, to John, he says, "She is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Not one of Jesus' natural brothers were there. He had four at least, just Mary of his natural family. What's even more interesting is, as far as we can tell, John was the only disciple that was there. Of all the friends and of all the family that Jesus had, there was John and there was Mary. John had the liberty to say the disciple that he loved because life just got too tough for the rest of the disciples. It just got too tough for his family. But there was John. And this is what friendship is really about. The verse says again, and I want to read this in closing. Proverbs 18:24 from the American Standard Version says, He that maketh many friends doeth it to his own destruction, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. God gives us friends to make life good. When it gets too bad for everybody else, there's a friend that God will bring into our lives that will stick with us in our cross experiences. When we're on our cross, there's going to be a friend there. A friend there that's going to take care of the things that you love when you're not able to take care of them. A friend there that's going to love what you're not any longer able to love. There's going to be a friend there that's going to carry you onward and upward. There's going to be a friend that's going to stick closer than a brother. God has wired us that way. He's wired us to have friends, and He's also wired us to be a friend. So here we are at the end of this lesson. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to take this serious? You see, it's time for some of us to evaluate our friends. It's time for some of us to change friends, because it's time for some of our lives to change. Now, I haven't hardly touched the thought of friends and friendships and all that the Bible says, but this is where I felt to go today. And it's been a more serious lesson than we normally do. But I want it to be serious. Your life will be successful, or your life will be ruined because of the friends you select. And it's not their fault. It's your fault because you were not cautious in your selection. A righteous person cautiously selects friends, and they live an abundant and a successful life. I want you to hear this. And I really want it to make an impact in your life. Not only as to the friends that you allow in, but also our being a friend to someone. Are we taking them up or bringing them down? In what direction is our life going? You see, no matter what you do with the lesson, if you just heard, be cautious in your selection of friends, then you're going to be able to say one day, it's good to be alive and have friends. Amen. You receive that today. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap, please. Amen. We're going to pray for people. Maybe it's about this. Maybe you know there's some situations in your life that you need to do some adjusting in your friends. Let's pray about it. We'll pray that the Lord will give you strength to deal with it, that you won't be weak, that you'll make the right decision and take your life onward and upward. But maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, let's pray about that. We can do that. You see, you'll never experience the abundant life and really be properly selective about the friends that you allow in your life if you're not having a relationship first with Him. He has to be your friend. Jesus needs to be your friend. Just as Father God needs to be your Father, and the Holy Spirit needs to be your comforter, you need Jesus to become your friend. And so maybe you need to pray about that. I'm going to invite you to come down, no matter what's going on. Also, I know that some of us aren't feeling well. Flu season and all that stuff going on. Well, the Bible says that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Bible also says that no matter what problem you're having, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your family, maybe it's your work, whatever's going on. The Bible says that if we agree together as touching anything, that He's right there. And He'll do it for us, because you know why? We no longer call Him Master, we call Him Friend. It's important that Jesus become your friend. So I invite you to come down, no matter what you're experiencing or what you're going through. Let me pray for you. Let the elders, elders' wives, and anyone else that wants to pray, please be coming as well. Be coming right now, and let's spend the next few minutes in prayer.